Thank you for listening to this episode of Courtside Indiana podcast. Please hit the subscribe or add button on your podcast app to get them delivered straight to your phone, tablet, or desktop. As always, we'd appreciate a rating and review, and you can reach us directly on our Courtside Indiana Twitter at CourtsideIND. Welcome to Courtside Indiana podcast. I'm Jim Reamer, joined by Dominique Neely, Patrick Woolley. We think Zach might be getting on. He's down in, where is he? Nashville? Is he in Tennessee? Do we know?
Memphis.
He's in Nashville.
Memphis.
Soccer. Girls soccer.
Big time.
11 and under soccer. It's a big day today, right? It's state tournament draw.
Patrick, well, let me tell you, I was thinking Indiana played today, Purdue played today.
Oh, it was, yeah, it was
the All Star game in Indianapolis and sectional draw. I mean, how much better can it get in the state of Indiana?
You can't get much better basketball stuff. Although the fact that the All Star game has no appeal to me, but
well, and IU and Purdue both lost. Yeah. Spoiler:
the Purdue game was at least decent to watch. Anyway, we Patrick, we've had various versions of how we handled the state tournament draw. 2 years ago, we did a live feed, and I didn't put a safety guard on there, and we ended up having some video meme of a naked belly dancer or a topless belly dancer on there. That was didn't catch that right away because sometimes I don't even have the video or like our video stuff up because I usually have other websites up that I'm looking at.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, last year we did real time live, just audio, but recorded. We didn't have anybody in there, but it ended up just us rereading the draw. So this year, that's why we're doing this. This year, we're doing a sort of a regular pod, just recorded the night of, so that way it hits everybody tomorrow. And then we're going to go through each grouping, 1A North, 1A South, 2A North, etc., and see if any of those draws kind of are compelling to us. Now, we're not going to do pick'ems. That's next week, or that's coming next week. We're not going to do we're not going to get too deep in the narratives because, again, that's the pick'em stuff probably because those are so matchup reliant, and we're just going to talk about them anyway. So we're going to go through each grouping, see if there's anything, any there we're going to talk about that are compelling, whether they're really good draws for some team are really bad draws. Dominique made a great point in our Slack channel. Go ahead and say it, Dominique. I want you to have credit for it, because I thought it was funny. I was kind of thinking the same thing, but
they messed around and seeded this thing without telling us. It seemed like that for a while.
Yeah, my view was going to be, this is a bad example for those wanting to see the tournament. There's obviously a couple of exceptions, but I liked yours better. They messed around and seeded it quietly.
Yeah, it seemed like that for, I think it was like in the middle of 2A, and we're like,
it was the Alexandria section the Alexandria sectional. Everything was pretty much split up pretty evenly until we got to, sectional 40, of which is 2A, the last one of 2A North. But really, there's only a couple of more throughout the whole state. Nothing too egregious. I saw some stuff on Twitter talking about, oh my God, I can't, there's no way they could play the first round certain. And I'm like, some of those sectionals were so packed. Yeah. There's no way to avoid it. And I just to share to people, we're not going to talk about sectional 8. It's just not. It's balanced. Okay, great. Sectional 8's a tough sectional. We all knew that. So we're not going to talk about that one. Sectional 10 is cool because it's the same draw over and over again. So we might talk about that a little bit and feel like if we have any influence once we get to it. But really, we're looking for Did somebody get a really rough draw? Did somebody get a really easy draw? And that's where we're going with it. So let's go ahead and start. Well, with 1A North, and it might be what you said, Dominique, in the Slack again. Anything compelling about the 1A North sectional draws?
Yeah, Dom, you go ahead
Don't
and
everybody speak at once.
teach us about that 1A North.
I thought that was supposed to be Zach.
Who said that? Was that Zach or was it you?
No, it was probably me. I don't know, but I mean,
You
there's not much.
delegated.
I said there's what, three teams in the
Yeah.
North that are, as the contenders or whatever, and
Yeah, Canterbury, Morgan Township, and Liberty Christian. That was your.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are the top three teams, and everything else in between is 2-13 and 3-17, 3-16,
What are we
most of
thinking
them.
about Seton Catholic?
That's right,
That's,
they're one of them too. I
yeah, I
forgot
guess
about
since we're not going to talk about any individual sectional because there just wasn't anything that compelling. And that's, blanket sorry. I mean, blanket sorry to everybody in 1A North. It's just either it was, there's just, look, we had issues trying to figure out who was going to be really good in 1A North anyway.
Yeah.
Morgan Township had a lot of guys back. Liberty Christian, with their freshmen, were going to kick in. And then Canterbury, we've been riding that bus all
Yeah.
year, even when they started out, what, 1-6 or whatever it was.
Yeah, before they got their guys from Homestead. But yeah, you're right, Patrick. Seton Catholic is definitely in that. That
So
should be
that,
the four.
and we're back to this old const or conversation. I mean, having a good record's fine, but how much did you challenge yourself during the year?
Yep.
And I think we can sort of slide Southwood into this equation because they are, first of all, undefeated in their own sectional, and they are undefeated among 1A, the 1A teams that they played. And since all they're going to play from March on are 1A teams, and they last year they did the exact same thing. They rode all the way to the state finals. They've got compelling size. They've got their backcourts. Well, they've got a pretty good backcourt. I've seen them play. To ask me to remember names is going to be not happening without
How'd you
me.
see them play, Jim?
I just drove up there. It was
Okay.
the rental car. It was winter break, so winter break, I made sure I had a car rental.
I'll say
So,
that's a hefty Uber
yeah, I'm, yeah.
price.
Winter break. My car is still sitting in a body shop right now, by the way, for those who have sort of paid attention to my foils this winter. But
And Jim, I would absolutely agree with that and defer. You've seen Southwood. They're 6-14. They're better than that record. Everything except they're going to run into Fort Wayne Canterbury, possibly.
oh, true. Yeah, it's not, it's still there. It's still there. And it's, they have the size to match with Tucker Day. Now, he's just a sophomore, but he's also had some pretty impressive games. And I know early in the year when Southwood played Manchester, I think they lost by 40. But I think they had a couple of kids out. And then when they played them again, it was a much, much tighter game. And I guess I didn't scan the roster in, because oh, it was their county tournament is what it was. But yeah, I think if you go by Dominique's mess post in Slack, Morgan Township, Liberty Christian. I know we're not going to do this in each level, but again, the sectionals up there are just not great. Morgan Township, Liberty Christian, Fort Wayne Canterbury. If we were gambling, would you take one of those three or would you take the field? I think I would take one
I'm
of those
taking those
three.
three.
Yeah, I mean, I
Yeah.
would.
Along with Seton Catholic. Yeah. Yep.
I would even take it a step farther personally, and I would go Canterbury or Morgan Township and the field. That's kind of how I see things. But then again, that's way up there, and I have not seen all of those teams.
Well, I'd be anxious to see. Like Liberty Christian still got a lot of questions answered because they are awfully young. They play three
Yep.
freshmen, and those are three of their best four players, least product, production wise. And at the end of the day, your first experience when you're hit, when you're dealt with ad some adversity, you're going to have to, there's just a little bit of unpredictability there.
Got to prove yourself.
You do, and that's not a whole lot different than, what Tinley went through in their early days, when they finally broke through with, Eric Hunter and Hunter White and those guys. And they took a couple of, they took a couple of tough turns getting to that point, where they probably did have more talent on the court, but could but didn't get over the hump until they did. Not that you have to win a state championship to get over the, to get over a hump. I mean, that's still pretty rare air for any team, even teams that have won it, multiple times, and it's still an accomplishment.
I mean, it's absolutely possible for them to not only win a sectional or but to get through that one game regional in the semi-state.
And just as likely is probably not the right word, but just as possible for them to lose to the Tri-Central, who's sitting there waiting for them on Friday night. So a lot of it is how do you handle the pressure. But all right, so 1A South.
I think we got to start with the first of all, Indianapolis Lutheran sectional they announced, and then they came back 20 minutes later and said, actually, we forgot
Redraw.
Central Christian, I think it was, and like completely redraw. And I think I said in the Slack, I know Remus Woods always talks about how he watches a ton of film on teams. I said, for coach for Lutheran, I said, hey, Remus is probably 7 games deep on his opponent they announced, and now 20 minutes later, they got a new opponent.
Did they have a team that had a bye and then they had to reseed and a different team got it?
Well, no, just no. They had two teams of the bye. Tinley was one of them, and then
Okay.
when they brought it back out, I don't know that they redrew it or they just sort of
Threw in another team.
wedged in Christian or Central Christian. I don't
Oh, did they
know.
not redraw it? I didn't pay attention that
Maybe they
close.
did redraw.
I don't know.
I don't remember
Because
what
if
the
I got the
overall was.
bye and Tinley ended up getting the redraw bye, I can imagine some very pissed off coach right now.
Yeah. I think hold on a second. I hate
We talked about
this.
that before. Do all coaches want that bye, or just, I mean, I guess that would probably be
Well,
the majority.
this is the fly in the ointment of the whole we need to seed these sectional things. I think if you get in situations where there's two really good teams and that's it, most of them would rather play that team first
More preparation,
and
yeah.
to have the prep time. I can't think of anybody that's ever told me, no, I want to wait and play them Saturday night.
Yeah.
Now, if there's two really good teams, but you're the favorite, and maybe you want your opponent to have less time to prepare, you might have a different view. But coaches love them some preparation for very good reason. And I think most of them, certainly more of them, would prefer to play that tough game first. Now, that doesn't mean they're necessarily out of the woods, but, and then you have some of these sectionals like 8 and 10 where it just the draw doesn't necessarily always matter. You're
If you
going to
go
have
into
to.
seeding, you're gonna have to change schedules too, because not everybody plays everyone in their own sectional.
Yeah, it's not a pretty fit, but there's people who want it because once every 3 or 4 years, their team ends up getting a rough draw. Like right now, LaPel Wapahani fans probably thinking, ah, we'd love to have us, why are we going to play each other first round? But we got what, two or three sectionals out of 64 that have something like that. I don't know that that's compelling enough to seed it. I it's just not that big. It's just not a big enough field. It's a 6 to 8, well, some cases five to eight team tournament. I don't know what seeding changes other than when you lose. I don't know that playing LaPel on Tuesday night is any different than playing LaPel on Saturday night, other than fatigue. If you're maybe you're a team that you feel like you're in better shape. But like the Lutheran sectional, it's pretty balanced. You got Tenley up top. They have the bye, which I think most coaches would rather have the bye because it's just one less game.
Yeah.
You do have some momentum issues. You do have some issues where you play teams but you play teams that have a game under their belt, so they're not as tight maybe as you are. And there's probably some numbers out there. If I remember correctly, something was said last year where I can't remember if it was if I'm confusing sectionals with the NFL. But the teams that have the byes don't win at the number that you think they would. Of course, the team that gets the bye isn't always the better team. I just think you'd rather have the bye because you have one less game to play, and you're definitely loving it Saturday night. If you're playing a team that's got their third game versus you with their second, it absolutely cost Eric Gordon and North Central a sectional championship. They played the third game of the week. He had 55 on Friday night. He was gone Saturday night, physically and probably mentally. I think that was his junior year. But the Lutheran sectional is balanced. You got Lutheran and Greenwood Christian. There's three really good teams. Lutheran and Greenwood Christian both play good schedules. Tenley plays a good schedule. They don't just play a bunch of 1A teams. So their records aren't necessarily sexy, but they're definitely three of the better teams in 1A. And all of them, Tenley would have the same issue with youngsters as Liberty Christian, but all three of them are guy teams that could possibly jump up and win it. But we're going to get a good Friday night there, at least for half of it, because you're probably going to have Lutheran versus Greenwood Christian. And then, let's see,
No,
hold
you'll
on.
have Lutheran and
No.
Tinley.
Yeah, I'm thinking my
Oh, so
first
wait.
initial thoughts is
Oh, it
Greenwood
did.
Christian got a preferable draw.
Oh, you will have. Oh, so it's
Yeah.
flipped. So Tinley kind of got screwed on that. Okay, so they did redraw it completely. Because in
Okay.
the first iteration, Lutheran and Greenwood Christian were at the bottom and had they were going to meet Friday night, and then Tinley was the other half with a bye.
Yeah, so Greenwood got the preferable draw there.
Yeah, so now Greenwood has the better position.
Calling all conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, good for Greenwood Christian. I mean, they've had a nice season. They're certainly the favorite in the first game, possibly the second.
I mean
Tinley and Lutheran maybe wear themselves out and run themselves to death. But you're gonna have to beat them sometime. Bottom line.
so Ligoti, and if there's others, we can certainly talk about it, but Ligoti was the other one that stood out to me. Orleans, good spot, very good draw for them. They start out with
Yeah.
Shoals.
Yes.
Then they play then the winner of that game plays Vincennes-Reveille, right? Yep. And
And
then,
that's almost a seeded like bracket.
well, kind of.
Kind of.
The other three viable teams are all in the other half, so they got to be digging that.
Yep.
Yeah. I
They
mean, you could
definitely
say
got
it's
to.
a 1-2-3, like a Orleans 1, Bar Reeve 2, but I mean, give or take.
And Ligoti maybe plays a better schedule than Springs Valley. Maybe,
Yeah,
maybe
I
not.
certainly believe Ligoti would be the favorite that game. Ligoti already beat them once this year, I believe.
By a lot.
Okay.
31.
31. Yeah. That's all I had for 1A South. The board
Yeah.
sectional looks pretty good. The bad thing for them is the winner of the Borden sectional plays the winner of the Godey sectional in the regional. There's Zach.
Well, maybe.
Live from Memphis.
Live from Memphis.
Something else that kind of stood out, Evansville Christian, we kind of feel like maybe has a cakewalk possibly to semi-state.
Yeah.
I mean, at least heavy favorites.
I think they do, unless those freshmen at Trinity Lutheran all of a sudden jump up and put up some big performances.
Maybe not this year.
But well, we're getting too deep in the weeds with the pick'em stuff, but those are the only two things I had for down at 1A South. Let's see, does Zach have any? Zach's on mute. I don't know if he can hear us or not, but I don't gather Zach has any hot 1A North takes.
I wouldn't imagine.
No. 2A North. Only thing that stood out to me was, again, the Alexandria sectional, LaPel, Wapahani drawing each other right away. The Bowman sectional seemed pretty balanced to me. Bluffton seemed pretty balanced to me. Those are both pretty loaded sectionals. Either one of you guys have anything else about those just up
Dominique,
north?
I'm sure you can talk about that Bluffton sectional. I mean, that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty balanced. I mean, it's not like you could have had on the bottom four or the bottom four teams could have been, Blackhawk, Adams Central, Manchester, Lewers. That would have been something to talk about. But it's split 2 and 2. Two of the top teams are on the top half, two on the bottom, so
Yeah.
pretty even.
Yeah,
Pretty
great
even
draw.
there.
Well, as good a draw as you could hope for anybody.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
there's five good teams, none of whom are the host. I'm looking at Bluffton's schedule.
I didn't realize Waco was 16-4. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Well.
So I mean, but that's a pretty balanced draw. And I think that's the kind of stuff we're trying to figure out is did somebody get really favorable draw there? Again, Blackhawk got the bye. So I think you kind of want the bye. And they can probably just prepare for Adams Central.
Yeah.
No offense to Starfires, but I mean,
Love to go to a game there in the dome one of these days. It's a drive, but I've heard good things.
it's cool. It would be better if they had bigger crowds. Zach, can you hear us?
Yeah,
Zach's.
can you
Oh, there we
hear me?
go.
Here we
Yes.
go.
You got any hot 1A North takes?
No.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Anything in the 2A North that stood out to you that we didn't just touch on? Like,
No, it didn't sound like it.
I mean, we talked about the Bowman sectional being pretty balanced, and I'm going to say this 1,000 times for the night's over. That's where it's going. That's where we're trying to go with this pod. What Lewis? I mean, the Lewis Cass. They kind of were in the same position last year as they are this year, except they don't have the super amount of size and length for what a 2A school is.
Their record was better, right? Last year?
Last year, by a couple of games coming out of the
Oh,
regular
really?
season, yeah, coming out of the, by, they had 8 losses coming out of the regular season.
Gotcha.
It just seems like there's always one team that does that. Of course, last year we had them and Southwood, but getting to the semi-state.
Dwenger, every year.
Yeah, seems like. All right, 2A South.
No
Sectionals that
Providence and Brownstown right away.
Favorable draw for Providence. About
yeah,
as good as they could hope for.
they got the better draw. Yeah, this was a tougher sectional last year just because Eastern was quite a bit better, and they had a different Jake Cherry just made them different. He was different. Now, not different enough, not enough to win it, but like they could, he could have been. It's like when you've got a 6'10" kid who's a good defender, it's like having a really good goalie in hockey. He could change some games, but I mean, obviously, Brownstown Providence just a little bit too lethal.
You could almost say that about a kid like Aiden Head over at Henryville, who's averaging 23, 24 points a game. He's about 6'7" himself.
Is he?
Nope.
Yeah, and again, though. Well, I mean,
So
I
what we're getting at is, I mean, Providence, good situation. Teams can tire themselves out on the other side of the bracket if that's if that passes on Friday, and then going into Saturday, have a puncher's chance.
maybe literally.
Yeah.
Physical as they are, sometimes that may happen.
I think that Paoli sectional, the Sullivan Paoli, that's a big matchup first game.
Now that was definitely not seeded. That's probably your
Right.
top two right off the bat. I mean, you could argue Linton as well, but
Winner plays
they're
Linton.
all, yeah,
Yeah, and
they're
the
all
winner
in that
plays
top
Linton.
half.
Yeah, that's a rough that I had that all I had for that one was three exclamation points. So that meant, yeah, we definitely were going to talk about that one. Yeah, I would say Sullivan Paoli right up there. The difference between that one and the Alexandria one with Wapahani-LaPelle is there's multiple good teams in this outside of that, and Linton's right there waiting for him. So yeah, definitely the power of that sectional is all in one half. And if you're South Knox with Sam Singleton or you're Mitchell, if Kyler was here, he could tell us how good Mitchell is. North Knox, Eastern Green. I mean, you're probably looking at, one of those teams is only going to have to face one of those teams getting the sectional championship game, and they're only going to have to face one of Sullivan, Paoli, and Linton Stockton. And see, for me, going back to the seeding discussion, I like that. I like that you're going to have a team that probably comes in on the outside looking in, who now only has to just shoot their shot once. Not that they're not going to have a tough game Wednesday, tough game Friday, but they're going to be in a position now where one of those teams is only going to have to play one of those stud teams to get through, and it just could give us a surprise. Now we say we like that until we actually have to watch one of those teams play in the regional, but it's still interesting theater in real time. Greencastle was another one I targeted, just because of the number of teams that are really good, certainly that are over 500. But then again, it came out pretty balanced. So again, North Putnam, Greencastle, Park Heritage, all teams that not only are above 500, but also have good young talent, and probably will see better days even than the season they had this year. Of course, Park Heritage got to the semi-state last year, so they got kind of a draw they wanted. Maybe North Putnam got the better end of that deal. They Cloverdale and then Southmont, especially drawing Cloverdale first. But yeah, nothing too huge there as far as anybody getting kind of a really bad draw. That's all I had for 2A. Anybody had anything else?
Nope.
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 Zach, nothing.
Nothing.
3A. What? Who? Which? Which? Which section is Jimtown in? I can't remember now.
19, South Bend,
Washington.
Washington. They got
Oh,
the
South Bend, Washington.
best
Okay.
draw, maybe.
They got the best. I think they drew it out themselves. I think Coach Layton was there. I think he had like the Pacers. If you know the New York, the year they finished second in the quote lottery to the Knicks. The Knicks got Ewing. We got Steve Stepanovich. They used to draw envelopes out of a big ball, like a big plastic ball. And the conspiracy theory is that the Knicks envelope was like in the refrigerator before it went into the ball, so it was colder than the others. So you could tell which one was which. And somehow that meant the Pacers
Jeez.
got screwed. I think that's what Jimtown did.
What a draw.
Mishawaka Marion, South Bend, Washington, South Bend, St. Joe, all on the other half. Not that Jimtown, not that it's a cakewalk. It's just that I think
No.
we all know Coach Layton. So They beat New Prairie, then they got to walk into the South Penn Clay narrative.
Yep. They've beaten everyone in that sectional except Marion and St. Joe, and they just lost to Marion by 7.
Yeah. But they're
And
going to
they've,
be.
and they don't have their best player right now, last few games. Last number, I don't know, five,
Jimtown doesn't.
maybe 3 or 4 of their last games, they haven't had
Who's
him.
He hurt, he got hurt in Adams game, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games, yeah.
Dylan
Fay or K
Fay.
Fay,
Dylan
yeah.
Fay, yeah.
Yep.
Well, this being the last year for Clay High School, I can't help. I gotta pull for South Bend Clay, man. I want to see him make another run
Yeah,
one last time.
poor Coach Layton. We're all rooting for South Bend Clay.
Easy. No.
Jimmy's.
I like me some Jimmies.
Easy.
Well, it's my name, damn
Oh,
it.
boy.
If
Oh,
I can't like
okay.
my namesake, then
That's true.
just let's keep it simple. It's they name that town appropriately. The town and their nickname. It's got me written all over it.
Just edit that last 30 seconds out.
The town's not Jimtown.
I'll let you guys edit it. I'll let you guys edit. I'll let you guys do the work. You want to edit it? Go for it.
I'm good. I'm straight.
Let's see. Frankfurt. I had Frankfurt listed just because Benton Central plays West Lafayette right out of the gate, but and then they.
I had the Woodland sectional circle just because I don't know who's gonna win. I mean, they got it's probably obviously every year Dwenger comes into the sectional under 500 or maybe right at 500 and then they go to semi-state.
Yeah, we've discussed this, Dominique. It's Dwanger and everyone else.
But I mean, Leo has certainly has enough more than enough talent to win this thing, and so yeah, it's just interesting just how many teams could win that.
And all of them play good schedules, and none of them have good re like great records.
Yeah.
Woodland has the best record at 13-7. I do like what South Bend, Washington could look like on Friday night. Because you possibly could have, well, you're going to have South Bend St. Joe against Washington or Marion. So that's going to be a good game. And then we got the whole South Bend Clay thing.
St. Joe just beat Washington by 30 the
Yeah.
Well, but that stuff tends to.
Yeah.
I mean, we at one point we had South Bend St. Joe in our top 10. They were 6-6, so they're 8-2 since.
I think they're a top 10 team, probably in 3A still.
I definitely do. And I think a lot of their early season losses were just because their schedule was so difficult.
Half of them were at the Homestead tournament when they're all, playing all the 4A teams.
Yeah, Zionsville, Carroll, Munster. They beat Homestead in overtime, so even their win wasn't easy. Losses to Riley, Chesterton.
Chesterton,
I don't see any
Penn.
bad losses.
No,
Maybe
maybe
Goshen.
Goshen, but only because Goshen's still kind of young and
Goshen was healthy then, too.
Yeah.
Mississinewa. I don't. I've got that just because again, there's every team in that sectional is over 500.
Yep.
There, but it still seemed like I don't. Yeah, I don't know. Meconaqua, Belmont being opposite of each other is probably a good thing. But there's no easy games there. No easy games there whatsoever. Norwell brings in the experience. Oak Hill, they're young. Peru's had a weird year. They probably thought they would be a little bit better. But still they've January was tough for them, but still they could put it together. We're not making predictions right now, but I thought that draw was pretty balanced. Newcastle, I thought was pretty balanced. Although Delta Frankton, I mean, I think Delta just comes in probably a little bit more prepared.
Yeah. I was looking at Frankton's schedule out of 2A. But wasn't Frankton used to be 2A?
Yes. They were, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, a lot of 1A, 2A teams on the schedule.
Yeah, it's weird that they're bigger than LaPel. That puzzles me. Just because LaPel is right off the interstate. That has nothing to do with today. Nothing to do with this conversation, but it still puzzles me that somehow Frankton has managed to be bigger than LaPel. Let's see. Garen Catholic.
We're in the South now?
Oh, yeah. I guess we're in the South now. Yeah. Should have drew a line there. I did not. Garen Catholic.
Even.
Good draw.
Yeah, again, balanced. I mean, there's so many different ways, you know, these draws could go. This is pretty, you know, the top two teams are opposite of each other. Garen Catholic, Brebeuf, Heritage Christian had a better than expected year. Although they've hit some tough times here lately. But again, their losses are Cathedral, North Central, LaPel in two overtimes, Roncalli, Bethesda Christian, one of the better 1A teams, Brebeuf. Their other losses, Garen Catholic, Richmond, and Tenley. There's not really a bad loss there. Other than saying, hey, we lost to a 1A team, but Bethesda's really good. So, you know, they could definitely sneak up. They beat Blackhawk. And I wouldn't say handily, but they kind of led the whole game. Outside of maybe a few minutes in the first half. And that's not easy to do. And then Princeton.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Princeton Heritage Hills, round one.
Yeah, no disrespect to Southridge, who I believe just beat Heritage Hills, but that may be your championship game right there.
The worst team gets the bye. I don't know that they're so much worse, but record-wise, they are. The worst team gets the bye. Which is Vincennes. And then Southridge, certainly a good team, had a good year. North Davies has had a spectacular year considering what they lost. And then, boom, you got Heritage Hills and Princeton right out of the gate. And, again, I'm not going to make a prediction, but that's definitely going to be.
It's like Washington played Heritage Hills close.
Yeah, they're
lost
solid.
Lost by five.
I mean, Heritage Hills, they're just – right now, they're suspect in the backcourt.
Yeah.
You can pressure them into mistakes, and we'll just see how much that plays a role. And, you know, their success.
Heck, Pike Central beat Heritage Hills.
Yep.
Yeah, they were only 1-2 in sectional opponents.
I mean, they managed, they won a sectional Sisley's freshman year. But, you know, again, he was playing with older guys. He was playing with a good group of guys that, you know, and they just haven't been able to duplicate it since.
Is this one where we think, you know, Sicily should just, you know, just kind of take this over and get this win, get, you know, win the sectional? Or
he's going to have to win three tough, solid games, I guess, you know, so.
Well, Luke Zeller didn't win a sectional until his senior year, so.
Yeah.
It's not.
Would I say they're the favorites? Yes, but I would not be surprised to see whatever happened in that sectional.
Yeah, Luke didn't win a sectional till his senior year. That was a weird the 05 class, the three favorites for Mr. Basketball, none of them won a sectional until Luke won his senior year.
Yeah, they never did they?
Dominic didn't win.
Dominic Josh, didn't, no.
And Josh McRoberts did. Now both of them played in got, you know, outstanding sectionals. Back then, whatever sectional that was for Richmond was Anderson, Muncie Central. Back when Muncie Central was going to the state finals, Anderson was number one in the state. So, I mean, you know, they weren't favored to win it. Carmel was favored to win it.
Who was beating Washington?
Well, nobody that year.
No.
Well, one of them.
Well,
leading up.
Yeah. Vincennes.
Mm-hmm.
First year it was Jasper. Then the next 2 years it was Vincennes Lincoln. But those Vincennes Lincoln teams were, if I remember correctly, pretty good. Like, yeah, 19-6, 17-8. Not super great. But, you know, they're playing Terre Haute North, Terre Haute South, Bloomington South, Evansville North. Those are some of their losses back then. We're getting deep in the weeds on this stuff. But
mm-hmm. Now, real quick, let me say something else that kind of stood out was I thought Batesville got a nice favorable draw at Greensburg. If there is such a thing. We've got South Dearborn first game, and they play the winner of Franklin County and Connersville.
Yeah. You said Greensburg, yeah.
Yeah.
What's weird there, though, is as bad of a year as Connersville's had. Oh, wait, what? No, forget that. I'll say there are three of their five wins come against sectional teams. So in the past, I would have just put it on. I just would have said Kerry Brown was going to win the sectional, but he's not
me too.
In that sectional anymore. But. And then Boonville, my note there was top two teams got to buy.
Yeah.
Bossy Memorial.
Same. Looks set up nicely for Saturday night.
Anything else before we go to 4A?
No.
Nope.
East Chicago
Save
Central.
David from Pickhams.
Yeah, East Chicago Central. Again, good enough, a number of good teams. I guess East Chicago and Maryville both kind of got – there's so many good teams in that section. I don't know. I don't know how the draw was going to matter. I mean, you wanted the bye, right? So Lake Central, Gary West gets the bye.
Not Gary West.
No, just Lake Central.
Oh, wait, I read something. My fault, my fault. I flipped over a line.
I mean, Gary West might as well have a bye.
You know, and then – I don't know, you know, what Hammond Morton's got. Munsters, if they win that game, they'll play Lake Central. You know, and Gary West sits there and waits, in theory, waits on the winner of East Chicago Central and Maryville. And it's just a heck of a sectional. I don't, you know, Patrick's going to have to stay home and watch it on stream. I mean, I don't know.
Phone will be off. I'll come home. I'll watch four or five games, and I'll be good.
I'm good. I'm going to send you like a video.
Nah, I'll be
message.
Off. Make a mental note. Block Jim Reamer on sectional weekend.
My note for the Chesterton sectional was LOL gets the bye, LOL. That was it.
Yep. That Crown Point Valpo matchup potentially for that Friday night will be really good. Again, they just played, right, Zach?
Yeah.
You were just there? Yeah. Crown Point 1-3. Yeah, a lot of good teams again. Yeah. Portage
Chesterton. The winner of Portage and Chesterton gets a kind of a walk into this in the sectional final.
Yes. Yes.
See, I think if you're one of those two teams, you obviously you like that. I mean,
yeah, you
don't
like that draw.
Yeah, you'd rather have the bye, but here you're
getting warmed up.
Gotta get a bye on Friday night. I don't know. I feel bad knocking Lowell. I mean, Coach Delgado's, you know, when he had the Manis brothers, had some really good teams, but, you know, they're deep down, they're a football school, and they convinced some kids to play basketball. But
you're Chesterton or Portage, you're thinking, okay, we got a week to prepare for these guys or whatever. We're going to get this one out of the way. We get this win. Okay, then we're rolling into Friday. We gain some confidence, and then here we are, Championship Saturday, feeling good.
Yeah, neither one of those coaches will overlook Lowell like we're talking about.
No.
But that's the luxury of where we are. We don't have to worry about getting overhyped.
Yeah.
We like that. Mishawaka sectional, Zach?
I like it. I think it's even.
Yeah.
It's balanced.
It's balanced.
Mishawaka's kind of got a they just played Adams. They beat Adams by two the other night. Michigan City Riley should be a good game again.
I think Riley beat them by two or something? Close.
Do what?
Well, didn't Riley beat them by like two or
no, Michigan City? 13.
No, Michigan City.
Oh, my fault.
Yeah, it was two. It was two. They were up 15 or 16 at one point, and then Michigan City turned it into a good game.
Oh, that's right. It was like 16-0 to start the game, right? Riley.
Yeah.
Interesting sectional.
It is interesting.
You've not been too hyped up on Mishawaka's season, though.
Correct.
Is that because of what? I mean, they handed Concord one of their three losses. I was today years old when I found out Concord was 16-3.
Jeez, how we been doing? No respect.
No, I messaged you earlier this year and I said something as Concord.
Our South Bend guy didn't talk about him a whole lot.
Talked about him 1 week at least.
1 week. All right.
Yeah, I was over there. I'm covering guys, not teams.
Yeah, that Elkhart sectional is pretty balanced.
Yeah, that was next. That's
I guess I you
had. Yeah, that's all I had was balanced.
Yeah. I guess that Friday night, Warsaw and potentially Concord will be another good one. And then Elkhart gets the bye as well. So they're going to be in it no matter what against Penn Northridge. So, and Penn's got some guys out. I don't know if they'll be back for that as well, right, Zach?
Yeah, that's potentially. I'm sure the plan will be that they're back north against Northridge, but
yeah,
don't know.
But that's the same thing as we talked about with Portage and Chesterton. Penn Northridge, the winner gets Elkhart. Elkhart's had three wins this year.
Right.
Again, they're not going to overlook them, but we can. So,
heck, they just lost to Penn by six the other night. But like I said, Penn's got some guys out.
Penn's missing some guys. I had nothing on East Noble, Homestead, Lafayette, Jeff. None of that. All that stuff went either.
I got something.
Go.
East Noble, just kind of with the Carroll and Northside thing there. Last year, Carroll Northside always play like 2 weeks before sectional, and last year, Carroll beat Northside by six in the regular season. 2 weeks later, Northside beat them by 30. And sectional. And then this year, Carroll and Northside just played last week, and Carroll won by six again. Same thing as last year. So
Fort Wayne went by 30.
That's what it looks like.
That's when Dominique's call.
That's your prediction?
Nope, that's not my prediction, but it'll be interesting.
Book it. For sure. Hot take. Fort Wayne went by 30.
I think that'll be interesting on that. If those are both Tuesday night games, Snyder, East Noble, I think will be interesting because East Noble just plays. Brandon Durnell has them dudes playing extremely hard. Like they just, like I watched them play against Leo. Leo has definitely has more talent than East Noble, and East Noble beat them by double digits strictly off of effort. I mean, just all over the place. But Durnell, if you have never seen Durnell, I mean, he's all up and down the sidelines. He is into the game.
Pacing, he's cheering, he's yelling.
Yes, and guy's Summit respond. City, dude?
Yeah,
is that Summit City guy?
He played at Homestead and
Spring Arbor,
and then
what I'm saying is that his pro. He does
yes,
the,
yes, okay. yes. But yeah, he's so he's a lot of energy. Yeah, a lot of energy, and his guys respond to that. So that'll be an interesting game. Snyder, East Noble. Snyder definitely has more talent, but East Noble play extremely hard, and then that Carroll Northside will be another good one that same night.
East Noble playing at home also.
Yeah.
Sectional 8, Noblesville, toughest section of the state. Nothing interesting there. I mean,
yeah.
I shouldn't say it like that. I mean, it's a pretty balanced draw. You didn't get all three. You didn't get the three, one, two, and three in the same half of the draw, which, you know, for this podcast purpose, that's what we were kind of hoping for. But at the same time,
I mean, drawing a bye is the best you can do there, right?
Yeah, I mean, Westfield's HSC obviously gets the bye.
Yeah.
Noblesville, Zionsville's not going to be an easy win. The winner gets Westfield. Fishers, obviously, they're going to be licking their chops to play Carmel again.
But HSC Fishers, if they would get to that, that's always a tough game. And HSC's good this year, so that could, you know, they played them close the first time, so that would be a battle if it got to that.
Yeah, there's so many. Yeah, that's
that sectional. You're just gonna have to play your ass off, and
that's the pick'em discussion where,
yeah,
I get all the different machinations of matchups, what they mean, et cetera, so forth. I didn't have much for Greenfield. Again, it's not a whole lot different than sectional eight. I mean, it was, you've got enough teams there that, I mean, I guess the top two teams, Greenfield Central, Anderson, right away, but
New Pal and Mount Vernon on Tuesday night is a big time game.
Definitely going to be a good game. There's, like I said, there's so many good teams. You can't really look at it and say, oh, we got screwed by the draw.
Yeah.
Anderson has knocked off Greenfield, I believe, the last two seasons.
No, they beat them. Yeah, they have. Yeah.
Last year. Yeah, at least.
Last year it was the first game. The year before it was Friday.
Ertl's back from Mount Vernon, correct?
Ertl's definitely back.
And he had a really good first game. And
yeah, 21 in this first game. So that could be a difference maker right there. There's.
Do we know who that was against, by the way?
If I look, I will. Hold on.
Just to see, like.
It was against Mooresville.
So he's been back for 1, 2, 3. He'll get 4, 5 games in before the sectional. So
yeah.
That'll be an interesting one.
Yeah, with them all year, it's who was going to step up. Could it be consistent? And they, you know, again, they play a good schedule. So they've got games in there that they're not going to win if they're not playing their best. You know, their losses, like the Lawrence Central loss was kind of surprising, but Lawrence Central's maybe had a little bit better year than what a lot of people thought. Lost to Fishers, lost to Plainfield. I'm sorry, didn't lose to Plainfield. Lost to Jeffersonville, South Bend Riley, Westfield, Greenfield Central, HSC, Noblesville. There's not really any bad losses there. From a team perspective, now they may feel differently about individual games, but you know, you lose to Noblesville by 31. The next game you get you get probably your most important player back right now, or at least certainly one of your most important players back. You know, they could be ready to roll next week. And if they beat New Pal, they got Pendleton. Pendleton's not a pushover, but
they play New Pal next in their season.
Mount Vernon does?
Yeah, their next game. The 20th, Tuesday.
Everybody's going to be playing the reserves that game.
One of the points was made on the draw show about how, oh, well, we'll learn a lot about that sectional this week because they play each other. I'm like, they ain't going to learn anything. None of these guys are going to show anything this week. I mean, I'll be shocked if Carmel plays. I know it's senior night, but they'll start seniors. I'll be shocked if those guys play past the first quarter. and they don't even play Attics in the same sectional. Those dudes ain't going to show each other anything. It's going to be the most vanilla game we'll see all year.
So you're not going?
I'm talking about Mount Vernon and New Pal.
Oh, I thought
I did mention
Carmel Attics.
No, I'm definitely going senior night. But watch Owen Huber make a cameo.
Yeah,
playing on 1.5 knees. Lawrence North balanced. Same sex as last year. Yeah.
That's wild.
It's happened before. It's happened in the Carmel sectional 3 or 4 times in my lifetime.
Yeah, probably if we had to pick a worse draw, I mean, I guess you could say North Central.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well,
Cathedral got a good
let's be
draw.
Lawrence North, Addicts, and Cathedral all in the same week. Tough.
All those teams have weird losses, though.
Yeah. I
It's
think
just,
that go ahead, finish that,
no,
Jerry.
I just was going to say, I think a lot of that is a function of conversations we've had this year. Is it's, class of 2024 is just not a super deep class, you know, and you've got teams being led by juniors and sophomores that aren't always going to have the same will to win as they do when they're seniors. It just, as much as we like a lot of those guys in 2025, you know, there's games where you could see they're like watching Lawrence North play Carmel. There was a lot of complacency in Lawrence North.
Maybe they don't come out playing with the same sense of urgency.
Right. You know, and that's, and that can carry over in the sectional. And it was sectional like this where you don't have much margin for error, does lead to some unpredictability. Uh-oh, who'd we lose? Oh, we lost Zach. He was on his phone in a hotel room, probably.
We're
Oh,
going
he
to
had
talk
to
about
bounce.
how
No.
Avon maybe might have won the sectional drawing tonight.
Yeah, definitely. Really good draw for them. Because there's a lot of good teams in that
As good as you could hope for.
bottom half there. Terre Haute North, Plainfield, Brownsburg, all in the bottom half, and they draw Terre Haute South one game and into the championship. So definitely got a good draw. Yeah, but like you said, Jim, in their Slack, Terre Haute South, it's not like that's a cakewalk by any means,
No.
but
No,
it's still the
they've
best
got
draw
a
you could get.
extreme level of quickness in that team, and that
Yeah.
can be a difference maker, and shot making for them is the challenge. So, but and that was just a one game view. But Plainfield Brownsburg, yeah, I don't, I mean, both those teams have had weird years. Talk about teams that should have senior leadership. You
Yeah,
know,
somebody's
and they
gonna go
lose.
home early on Tuesday thinking, man, we could have made a good run this year, but we're out first game.
Yeah, that
Is
would be the
my
case. If they were both 18 and 2, that would be the case. You know, I'm just saying that both of them have had weird years. I had Brownsburg third in the state coming into the year without catchings.
I think we all had Plainfield around that top 10 area.
I think I had him. I can't remember where I had him. I mean, we've still got it listed, but
Yep.
Am I seeing this right here? Terre Haute North beat Evansville Harrison by 30.
yeah, they
Yeah.
did. Yeah.
Whoa. We're gonna get to surprises later. No,
Oh, I
that's
won't
fine.
be. I'm
Spoil it.
jumping off.
Yeah, he's jumping
Spoil
off.
it. Okay.
I mean, they haven't lost a game since they lost to Terre Haute, Bloomington South. Let's put it this way: they haven't lost a game since they changed the starting lineup, and they've won 17 in a row. So.
Yeah.
Insertion of Bryce Wren and Cam Fennell into their starting lineup, and just it's been clicking ever since. And it's not the schedule that the MIC teams
Brownsburg,
or Carmel
yeah.
or Center Grove, you know, or the any, but it's still a good schedule.
Yeah. I would say Plainfield and Brownsburg probably have played a tougher schedule, I would think,
Yeah.
without looking. Yeah. Definitely Brownsburg.
Well, that's again, I don't, you know, I would say there's any number of four teams that could win that sectional.
Yeah.
Only one I've got left is Seymour. Not that you guys can't have anything left, but I
No, I
mean,
mean I love Seymour. There's no place better to go in March. It's I don't it's as balanced as you can get. Any team, flip a coin in that one. The two Hoosier Hills Conference champions, co-champions, Jeff and Seymour, right off the
other than the two worst teams getting byes,
bat.
but it is balanced in that you've got the top four teams are in each two in each
The
half.
two
It's just
worst teams could do some damage. I mean, there are no pushovers.
Jennings County's played the whole year without Elmore, right? I
Yeah.
mean, they'd be better with him.
Absolutely. They may be a favorite with him.
And Floyd Central's young, right?
They are young. They just got they got Sam Higgins back from injury. He'd been out most of the year. He just came back for the last two or three games.
But the four teams that have had the best season are distributed 2-2. And then I'll be surprised if Evansville, not that we're making predictions, but
I've had some weird stuff going on. It seems like weird losses.
Harrison.
I think so.
Yeah.
Losing to Wrights and then
Yeah.
by 30 to Terre Haute North.
Yeah. Well, I don't know who they didn't play. Is it somebody that didn't play or
Yeah, it could be.
I mean,
Yeah,
once they got down to Gary.
they lost to Wrights one night. They beat Owensboro by 40. They beat Bossy, and then they lose by 30.
Well, Wrights beats Harrison by 2, and then the very next night loses to Bloomington North by 31. It's just
What is going on
that
in
was last week.
Evansville?
That was last weekend when I said Saturday was
Yeah.
bizarro day.
Yeah, I remember that.
We had a lot of scores like that last weekend, especially on Saturday. And then, yeah, then losing to Terre Haute North by 30. I'll say this about Harrison, though. And they could take it for what it's worth. I don't. There was a lot of quitting them against Carmel. There just was. And there was a lot of. And I don't mean quit like, screw it, we're not going to play, but a lot of guys just kind of breaking off and trying to do some individual stuff. And and so maybe quit's the wrong word, but they definitely went off schedule.
Maybe easy to lose focus.
Could be. I mean, I was surprised. I just was surprised.
The talent is absolutely there. The shooting, the height, the athleticism. That team could make a real run. Now,
At
I mean, they
any
still could. They've got a nice draw. I mean, they could get there, but.
Chance they had to come back was on the shoulders of Sims, Shane Sims. But they just had a couple of guys that were just kind of going off schedule a little bit, trying to do maybe a little bit too much. So maybe quit's the wrong word, but because again, when you got somebody trying to do too much, he's not quitting. But it definitely was not
Maybe
they
guys
looked
that
they
don't have
looked
defined roles, maybe you're thinking of.
I guess it just was surprising. So, right. Anybody got anything else?
That's it. I'm out of here, Jim.
We didn't hit our target, but at the same time, I thought we didn't get too bogged down in anything. I think the closest we got to being bogged down was talking about the
Going
mid
back to
2000s.
2005.
Yeah. Right, Dominique. Good talking to you. We'll see you Wednesday night when we record the 1A and 2A pick'em. So, all
All
right,
right,
man. We'll
Dom.
see it.
See him.
Yeah, and just for everybody who's listening, we are recording 1A and 2A pick'ems on Wednesday night. We will publish the 1A on Thursday, the 2A on Friday, and then I'm not 100% sure when we're doing the 3 and 4A, but those will both publish on Monday leading into the sectional. So, you will have four more podcasts between now and the start of the state tournament. And next week, we will not have a regular pod where we talk about games and all that. In large part because I just, it's a lot of teams will rest guys, especially teams that play late in the week. You know, and Patrick, my thing on Carmel against Addicts was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 3 years ago. I know there was an injury involved with somebody, with either Charlie Williams or Suter. So Osborne's like, screw it. I'm just going to play the sophomores and Burke Weldy. And Weldy had put up 28 against Addicts. And he had played 95% of his minutes on JV up to that point.
Yeah, there's no reason to show your hand.
So I don't know what we're going to glean from a lot of games being played this week, especially games played this weekend. So we're not going to have a regular pod next week. We're just going to get, we're going to be like a lot of coaches. We're just going to prepare for the state tournament. So, all right, but we are going to talk about games this past week. It's just me and you. Who was the, what was the best game you saw this past week?
Without a doubt, best game. And one of the best games I saw all year was the Hammond Knoll at East Chicago game. And I know I'm on here all the time talking this and that about East Chicago and all that. They're a fun team.
I'm glad we brought you on for the Southeast Indiana coverage.
Well, you know, I'm an all around kind of Indiana guy here.
Streaming has been fun.
Love it, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, East Chicago, they're just doing their thing. I mean, what have they? They haven't lost to an Indiana team since like December 6th or 7th. So that's been 2 or 3 months of winning. The game against Knoll, I mean, it looked like Knoll kind of had a good hold of it. They started out hot, 8-0. They've got a really good senior in Caleb Parks. And, man, he first couple of possessions of the game, he just came down and just tried to yam on Dominique Murphy and almost had him, man. He almost put him on a poster, but they called a foul on Murphy. EC, man, they climbed back. They fought, and it was back and forth, all this and that. Knoll eventually got up to a 14-point lead. That might have even been in the – it was late in the third, maybe early fourth, and it kind of looked like, okay, you know, East Chicago, they had a good run. Hammond Knoll, man, they're going to be really good in 3A, and which they still are, but – man, once EC turned on that press, it was just like you could just see the comeback happening. It came from it was turnover after turnover. East Chicago would get to the free throw line. They would make shots. It would just slow the lead slowly evaporated.
Big boy basketball, wasn't it?
Man, and that place, I mean, you know how the energy is different when you're there, but even on TV, you could feel the energy of the crowd. I think it was like a homecoming. They brought in like Roosevelt and Washington, some of their old alums there. So big night for East Chicago. They finally.
Why were the Roosevelt and Washington or the East? Oh, I see what you mean. East Chicago, Roosevelt, East Chicago, Washington. My bad.
Yeah, some of the old guys from the old schools came back. But East Chicago took a lead on an intentional foul, and then they hit a 3-point shot. They never really looked back after that. They ended up winning 73-67. Of course, you know, Dominique Murphy, he's doing his thing. I mean, you've already gave him, you know, you already gave him love last week talking about a core junior all-star. Mm-hmm. I think he had 25 against Knoll. Just had a regular Dominique Murphy game. I mean, when he's on and when he's hitting, he's tough to stop. But I really, in that fourth quarter, the key to that comeback was junior Yamari Wallace. He had 15 of the 19 points in the fourth quarter and really kind of put them on his back. And I already like the kid, but like every time I see him, he looks like he's improving more and more and more. So that's a sleeper up north, man. Nobody's really thinking about or talking about yet. Yamari Wallace.
Oh, player-wise. I thought you meant East Chicago. I'm like, we talk about him every week.
Yeah. Player-wise. He is a 2025 kid that could really end up making some noise down the road. But no, Knoll's a good team, man. They're going to make a nice run in 3A. They're hard to guard. They've got shooters. They got length. I really like their junior, Kalel Johnson. He's about 6'5". He's pretty long, and I hadn't heard of the kid before watching him, but he can shoot the three a little bit. He's athletic. He's long. They did end up fouling out with like 4 minutes to go, which it did help change the tune in that game. Yeah, two good teams. Really fun game. If it wasn't 6-hour drive, man, I would have definitely gone up there and checked it out.
We need to calibrate how far you think stuff is.
Well, I looked it up and it's 5.5 hours. And if I went 5.5 hours south, I'm hitting Georgia. So that's about how far it is. You know, Tennessee, Georgia, down that way.
Yeah. The far reaches of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
My game, Cathedral and Ben Davis. And a lot of this was taken care of in the second quarter. I think Cathedral at one point, I want to say it trailed by five or six heading into the quarter, ended up outscoring Ben Davis 21-6 in the second quarter. And I think the obvious thing that the big change in Ben Davis this year, Ben Davis last year, is they don't have the interior presence that they had last year in Doughty. I think they can do some things on the perimeter defensively to mess teams up. But if they can't turn you over, then you're going to be able to get in the paint and finish. And, you know, they definitely have guys back there, Tavion Williams being one of them, who can impact shots, but it's just not it's not combining the length with the size. He's got the length. He doesn't have the size that Zane did. And, you know, Ben Davis Cathedral took full advantage of it, not just in terms of penetration to get all the way to the basket, but dump offs. Aiden Hughes had a big game. I think he led Cathedral that game with 18 points. Brady Kaler had a couple of instances where he caught it and just ripped and drove and got all the way to the basket. And it was just an assault on the paint. And I don't really know. I know early in the game, LeBron Goff hit a couple threes to get them going. And if you're going to have to stretch out and guard Cathedral with the quickness that they've got on the perimeter, you're going to have some rim protection, or you're going to have a plan. And it just wasn't Ben Davis's best effort defensively. And, you know, and is that something they get taken care of? It's certainly possible. I think they will be a favorite in their sectional, but they're going to have to get it addressed by the time they play, you know, by the time they get into the thick of it in March.
At this point, I feel like you kind of are who you are.
Perhaps. I think we always see instances of teams, you know, we talked about it even in this podcast. Fort Wayne Dwingers, a team that, you know, they're so conservative on defense that they can stymie people. You know, you look at what Southwood did last year. I mean, we're talking about teams that, you know, don't have great records who end up making long runs in the state tournament. But, I mean, I think there's sometimes the amount of time you put into prep for a sectional game or a regional game, I think more or less doubles than it does for a regular season game. And, you know, you also learn from that game. They're going to be able to watch that film and figure out how did Cathedral get to the basket so easily. They play Lawrence Central. Lawrence Central will assault them into the paint as much as they can. They will definitely look to attack the paint. Tech's not going to be any differently. So they're going to play teams that will challenge them. And, you know, I watched the same thing against Carmel, where if Carmel got past the first line of defense, your point is valid, but I do think that they've got guys back there who can make a difference. And it just, at least in this game, and you know, even the Carmel game, it didn't happen. So
teams that give Ben Davis trouble, you would say, are teams that can handle a press and good guard play.
I just think that more and more it becomes a cliche. You know, it's like the you watch a game on TV and they break down key points of the game, et cetera, so forth. If you play a team like Cathedral who is executing a little bit more in the half court, who can possess the ball, they play Carmel, for example, a team that can possess the ball. And not necessarily hold for a shot or hold the ball, but like actually possess it and work for a good shot. If you can't turn those teams over and you let them do what they want to do, and let's probably too strong of a word, but if they are able to do what they're best at, you know, you're at a disadvantage. And they've got to be able to take people out of what they do. They've got to be disruptive. Last year's team was disruptive. they beat Kokomo in the state final game because they turned Kokomo over. There were possessions where Kokomo couldn't get the ball to half court. They haven't shown that in some of the games I've seen this year. And by some, I mean, I think I've seen them play once outside of this past couple weeks. So it's not a, you know, all-inclusive. It's not an all-inclusive evaluation, you know, but you know, they probably, you know, there was a comment on the draw show whether or not Franklin Central can get and play Ben Davis again, because that's, those two teams played twice. They've split. They both have been close games. And I would say Ben Davis doesn't feel good about losing to Franklin Central. You know, and but then they seem like they righted the ship a little bit. They had a nice stretch of wins. They beat Attucks. They handled Zionsville somewhat handily. I don't know what the Pike game was like, but they beat Pike by 10. And I think that's who they play in the tournament, if I'm not mistaken.
It
first
is.
Game out of the, yeah, first game out of the gate. Yeah, I just was, Cathedral was really good at getting the ball in the paint, and they didn't, Ben Davis was able to cut the lead to 5, but they, I don't know they ever had the ball down 2 possessions in the second half, or at least in the fourth quarter.
Which is why the Cathedral loss on Saturday night, and I'm not going to go too deep into that, really confuses me, because the team they played out of Louisville, their biggest player is probably 6'5", 6'6", tops.
Didn't they hit 15 threes?
So they've got a kid on their team that is playing for Indiana Elite's top 26 team, and he is a 3-point sniper. But I believe that team they lost to, is they've lost 9, 10, 11 games this year.
Right.
So it was a surprise for sure, but it happens.
All right, well, who is your player?
The man from East Chicago, Yamari Wallace, 21 points, 10 boards, 3 steals against Noel, and then another win on Saturday against Morgan Township. Yamari Wallace.
Oh, they played Morgan Township?
Yes, on Saturday.
Look at Morgan Township stepping up. I do like that they were willing to play some bigger schools this year.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was Alex Kudo. Game against Brebeuf. I mean, Carmel basically led that game the whole way. They stretched it out to about 8 points. It seemed to kind of hover anywhere between 8 and 11. Anytime, it seemed like Brebeuf tried to cut into the lead, Kudo hit a 3. His first 3 threes came at the result. He hit his first 3 shots. All were the result of Reese Butcher gambling in a passing gap and being unsuccessful. And giving Kudo the angle to get a catch and just basically step into a 3. Nice little rhythm catch into a jump shot. He kind of quieted down in the second quarter. They kind of a little bit better, but then, like I said, anytime they needed a shot in the second half, it seemed like he hit a 3. Now they did get 3 pointers from Aiden Dickerson, their freshman, Evan Harrell, a sophomore, who's not yet known to be a consistent 3-point threat, but it's improving. It's
getting, is Harrell there, coming along this year?
He is, yeah. I mean, that's, yeah. Look, this season is what it is. And the fun thing has been watching them develop. Whatever their short-term goals have been, my viewpoint has been the long-term is more important than the short-term. Now, that sucks if you're a senior. But again, I'm not the one coach the team. I'm not the one. And I'm glad to see them, especially, you know, here lately, get a lot of, not just get wins, but get good wins. But yeah, the young guys are developing without question.
We talked about in the beginning of the season, from afar, from a distance, I'm thinking, okay, if Carmel gets to 500, good year for them. Good solid year.
Yeah. And I would say it's even better than that. I mean, you win the games they won in a row. That's, you know, the stakes aren't the same as doing that in the sectional, but that's very sectional-like. Those three games in 6 days are, that's, you know, it's something that they're going to have to do this week to some extent. No easy games, but Kudo has improved his game as well. I don't view him as one of the young guys, but he's been a guy that has gone from being a catch and shoot guy to a guy who will hunt more shots, hunt more off the dribble. He's definitely always been a good movement shooter coming off screens. He's just been more aggressive. I think he burns. Early in the year, it was obvious that he would burn smaller defenders, even maybe possibly good defenders. But and length gave him trouble. He's not going to find too many defenders, even at the 4A level, that are more capable than Butcher. And Butcher made some bad plays, and Kudo exploited every single one of them. And that's been his growth, is being able to shoot heavier contested shots, not just shoot them, but make them. Well, even to some extent, being willing to shoot them. Early in the year, he wasn't willing to shoot them, or at least didn't. And now there's no hesitation.
Yeah, somebody's got to be step up and be a scorer for them.
Yeah. You know, but it's, you know, you look at all their wins. It's usually been he's been a big factor in each of them. But he's improved. Clevenger has shown his value. Harrell has improved. Just all those guys have gotten better through the year, and it's been fun to watch from the outside looking in, because, you know, I'm not the one sweating those losses. And then when you look at the quality of wins they've had, then it's made this season pretty good.
Good deal.
All right. I got to bring my notes out, 'cause I always seem to forget which order we go by. What,
surprises, any, we got locks. What are we doing here?
We got surprises, then locks this week. Well, we had some surprises, didn't we? You've already kind of touched on a couple of them, haven't you?
Yeah, that the big one for me was Terre Haute North 30-point win over Evansville Harrison. Okay, Terre Haute North, they win. Not a huge upset, not a big thing.
I don't even, 30, yeah, I'm not even
30 points.
It's not even an upset, not at Terre Haute.
Yeah, the margin is what's upsetting.
Yeah, it's very
not to me personally,
definitely
but,
upsetting. Yeah, definitely upsetting the Harrison. Yeah, I think we all targeted that one. North Central, hold on a sec. Let me find them. Did they have one last week? Yeah, that wasn't last week, though. Yeah, that wasn't last week. I was going to say them losing the Pike, but that was the week before. I mean, them beating Carroll was not a surprise. I'm trying to think, what did I have? Lures have a game last week. I think Lures losing to Huntington North is probably a surprise.
That's a surprise.
Huntington North has 7 wins this year. It was at Lures. So it wasn't like they drove up to Huntington into a hostile environment. Huntington's got a cool gym, by the way, if you've not been in there. It's kind of like a smaller version of Seymour.
Is it called Sean Klein Gymnasium?
No. No, but his dad, Klein's dad's a good hang. When Carmel would go up there, the first two state finals, they're semi-state, or their regional was at Huntington. And sit next to him at the good old Huntington Applebee's.
Nice.
Happening place.
We could say Southridge over Heritage Hills by 12. That's a minor upset.
That's a good, yeah, that's a good one. All right, got any locks this week?
I'm going, it's not really an upset, but I'm going to give a lock for Plainfield over number one Danville.
Plainfield over Danville. Let me get down here to where locks are. Where do I have locks? There we go. Plainfield over Danville.
Quakers are going to right the ship at the right time.
Our locks last week, I had Fishers over LN. Cha-ching. Dominique had LN over Fishers. And then you had Seymour over Greensburg.
Yes, sir. Finally got one.
Let's see. What's my lock of the week? That one's too obvious. Lots of games on Thursday.
Yeah, Tuesday as well.
I am not prepared for this category. I am not prepared for this category.
Let's see. Scottsburg plays Jennings County. You want to go? You want to touch that one?
I'll go. Let me check Tuesday here real quick. We'll go Brownsburg over Center Grove.
There you go.
Just
that would be an upset the way
Center Grove's
been playing.
That would be a big Center Grove. No matter where I go with that one, somebody's going to send me a text. Go, oh really?
I'll get a text. Use you as motivation.
That's right. Put me on the bulletin board. I'm going to pick Brownsburg over Center Grove, and then I'm going to turn around and pick Center Grove to go to semi-state. So how do I know? So that'll be my redemption, is how far I think Center Grove's going to go in the state tournament. Again, I just think that, I don't know, this is just a rough week. I don't know that we're going to be able to tell a whole lot on teams based on this week. Center Grove's got two games this week. I guess they're not in a conference, so neither one of them would count as a conference game. I'll just stick with that.
How about Heritage Hills playing Princeton on Tuesday night and then a week later turning around, playing them again?
I mean, I could go Cathedral over Zionsville, but that's not.
Yeah, you already made it. Brownsburg, lock it up.
Yeah, I mean, North Central Fishers is the game. I don't think. I think Fisher's just going to win that. Scrolling down. Yeah. Like you said, I've already said it. Can't unsay it. All right. You going to games this week?
I am. I'm going to Scottsburg at Jennings County on Tuesday. And I expect that to be a pretty solid game. Looking at possibly Madison at Switzerland County on Thursday and Jacksonville at South Ripley, the Ripley County rivalry on Friday.
South Ripley already sectional semifinalists.
Oh, they buy them way, they draw themselves into the semifinals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But they have to play probably the co-favorite.
Yeah. Carmel Addicts at Carmel on Tuesday will be there. Thursday I'll get to a game somewhere. Kind of the last full day of good games. And then what's Friday look like?
There's a little bit going on Friday.
Yeah. but nothing super close. Trinity comes up and plays Cathedral.
Could be Friday. Interesting.
Do you know that?
Yeah, I see it on here.
Yeah, that's all I got. I don't think I'm going anywhere on Saturday. There's only five, six
Saturdays,
games.
There's nothing.
Go to LaVille. Go hang out with Zach.
Yeah, out by South Bend. I think I'll pass.
Pass. That's a 5.5 hour drive. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's all we got. Thought we did pretty good.
We're running out of material here, Jim.
Yeah, for the week we are. Well, next week we'll have all of our sectional pick-ems. It'll be a busy week. So appreciate everybody listening. Look forward to four more podcasts between now and next Monday. So those that listen, thanks. Those that don't listen, what we used to do, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, you want to learn about basketball, you want to get into it this time of year and know what's going on, take a listen.
Yeah, click that subscribe button, get it delivered to your phone. Patrick, good talking to you. We'll talk again later this week.
Yes, sir.